Welcome to the My Baby Craniosacral Podcast, where I share stories of the babies I've treated, tips for professionals and parents, and demystify this magical healing modality. I'm Megan Beams, your baby bodywork mentor, and I'm obsessed with all things birth, psychology, healing, and plain old being a human. Join me while I dig deep into craniosacral therapy. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a thing. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the My Baby Craniosacral Podcast. I'm happy to be here today and recording as I have actually taken quite some time off from recording. I was feeling quite burnt out, and at the time of recording this right now, we are right in the middle of the second lockdown during COVID. So it's been definitely a bit of a time. Let's just say it's been of a time. So I took a break and I'm feeling like I'm ready to get back into things. So here I am. So today what I'm going to be talking about is what it's like to be an infant craniosacral therapist. I literally have the best job ever. It's the best job ever. For anyone who is really into the infant stage, and I know it's not for everyone, it is literally my favorite, you know, from the moments of first breath until, let's say, 6 months old is literally just a dream for me. That is my favorite age. Maybe even before 6 months. Let's say like a few minutes old to 2 months old. Oh, I just love it. I just love it. And I get to see them every day. Well, as you'll find out later, it's not every day, but when I have them scheduled in for my clinic days. So I get to cuddle babies. I get to rock them to sleep. I like to smell their little heads. I hear their coos. I smell their breath. I know that sounds funny, but I just love the way a baby's breath smells, especially if they're breastfed babies. Oh, it's so sweet and yet sour at the same time. It's just so cute. Oh, I can't handle it. And then they sneeze in my face. I even love it when they sneeze in my face. Oh, it's too cute. But while I'm doing all of these fun little oxytocin, dripping with oxytocin things, I'm still working. I'm still focusing. I'm still thinking. I'm still listening. I'm still deciding on the next area that I feel the body is telling me to go to. So yeah, I get to cuddle these babies, but it's still a lot of work. So I wanted to talk about that today so that anyone who's interested in becoming a craniosacral therapist for babies can get an idea of what it's like to be a craniosacral therapist. So I myself, I have a full practice and it's based solely on referrals. The odd person will find me through a Google search, but very few and far between. I've definitely set my SEO optimization up on my website. And I think due to the fact that I am searched for directly on a daily basis, that's why my website is one of the first ones to pop up on Google if people are searching cranio for babies in Toronto. I see anywhere from 14 to 18 babies a week, and I schedule 3 clinic days per week. So I at the moment, I work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And because I do have kids who, you know, there's the school daycare drop-off and then school drop-off, so I do 2 drop-offs at the moment. I start my day at 10 a.m. And thank goodness that I can actually just plan my work week to suit my family's needs. It's wonderful. So I am on drop-off duty and my partner is on pickup duty. So I get to finish my day a little bit later than the actual school pickup time. So I schedule 30 minutes between each baby. My initial appointments are 1 hour and 10 minutes long. I really like to get to know the parents. If both are there, that's really the best. I like to get to know the pregnancy story, the conception story, the parenting style, and also the birth story. The birth story is really important. Everything, truly everything is very important. Everything should be listened to and heard. Because what can happen is you might get a little tidbit of information that actually is the clue to the story, the clue to the baby's, well, let's say the clue to why the parents have brought the baby to see me or you, the practitioner. I feel like I'm a detective. I like to recreate in my mind how the baby might have been positioned in utero or how the baby might have been feeling during a situation. And if there were any issues with at birth, you know, if it was a prodromal labor or the baby got stuck, you know, they were at 9.5 centimeters, but they wouldn't come out. So they went with a C-section. So if there were, you know, let's say the there was fetal D cells, a lot of this is positional. And I like to try and figure out what that position in the birth canal would have been like, because a lot of times, I'm not going to say every time, but a lot of times that positioning is the culprit. They're the culprit to all things. Oh, poor little babies. So as I mentioned before, I really like to get to know the parents. I like to get to know them. I like to listen to their stories. I like to look them deep in the eyes because they come to me and they have seen many other healthcare professionals, pediatricians, lactation consultants, their family doctor. They've seen so many people, dentists, if they have tongue ties. They've seen so many people. And yes, they have told their stories, but I don't know if they've truly been listened to. And I really like to give them that time. There's a lot of healing that can happen when someone just tells their story. I keep a lot of tissues around. There's a lot of crying. And it's not just the babies, you know, it's the adults too who are having these traumatic experiences with birth, and you know, we're maybe a week out of that birth and they haven't processed it yet, or it's the first time they've told their story in a way that they feel comfortable to truly share details. So yeah, I really like to give them that time. I am a therapist. I am a registered massage therapist. I am a craniosacral therapist. I am a therapist. It's great. I love it so much. So let's get to the babies. So these babies are sentient beings. And I like to see if I can understand if the baby's symptoms that the parents have brought them to me because of, right? Like they brought them to me for a reason. So these symptoms that they're experiencing, are they due to an emotional experience or are they due to a physical experience? If you haven't heard of the book, The Body Keeps the Score, I highly recommend it. Our bodies hold emotion in our tissue. If we keep this emotion due to an event, again, emotional or physical, in the tissue within our bodies, then our bodies will keep showing us it's there in the symptoms that we are experiencing. For babies, this can look like back arching. It can look like colic. It can look like breast refusal. You know, you bring them to the breast and they just scream immediately. And you're thinking like, well, what's going on? What's happened? There are many things that emotional and physical events can show us, present as. There are a lot of symptoms that present after an emotional or a physical experience. So I really want to know all of the story because maybe I can get that clue, you know, whether it was the preconception, conception, in utero birth experience where that really specific emotional aspect of things is. And then I keep that to myself for some time. And I try to understand the parents to see if they would be receptive to this information. Because not everyone believes. And I really, truly, I don't want to force my opinion on other people or force my beliefs on other people. So I try to suss out people and see if they would be open to believing my beliefs. And that means believing that these infants have emotion stuck inside their bodies, believing that these infants have emotions to begin with, believing that these infants have experiences that are replaying over and over and over in their minds, believing that these infants have physical feelings, you know? I have so many parents who come to me and they say to these babies, well, you're only a week old. What's gone wrong in your life? And I think they're not a week old. They are old souls, if you believe in reincarnation. They are 12 months, you know, post-conception. They are, what about that time leading up to conception? If you believe that, you know, a soul chooses their parent, they are not a week old. They are a week breathing. They are a week breathing oxygen. Yeah, that's true. But they are not a week old. I truly don't want to force this on people. What I do is say that these babies can have emotion and that they are humans and humans are born with emotions. We don't know how to label the emotion as an infant or toddler or child, and sometimes as an adult. We can't label it, but we can still feel. We can still have those emotions. Rejection is a big one, especially for babies, right? Because babies just need closeness. They need to be with their birth parent. They need to be with who it is that they have just been inside of for as long as possible. And when they are detached from them, either forcibly or emotionally, you know, maybe the birth parent is detached emotionally because of a traumatic experience. And that's, again, this is not a shame thing. This is a human thing. Let's say the birth parent, their own mother died while they were pregnant. That would be really hard. And that baby is going to feel their birth parent's emotion. They're going to feel that rejection, that detachment, that almost ambivalence to being pregnant. They're going to feel that. That is their journey. That is their human experience. I like to find out if I can kind of understand these things and then give tidbits of information to the parents. I think I've digressed here, but I don't care. It was information that really needed to come out. So I also like to make sure that I tell the parents what it is that I'm about to do with their babies. I understand that I see anywhere from 4 to 6 babies a day. And so they do kind of all blend into one and they all just feel like my own baby. My business is called My Baby. Your baby is my baby. I love your baby just like it's my own baby. So I understand that I feel very comfortable holding their babies, and babies are very predictable. Once you've seen well over a few hundred, you will say, oh, no, they're predictable. I know exactly what's going to happen. So I feel comfortable with what it is that I'm going to be doing with the baby, how I will be holding their baby, where I will be placing my hands, and the movements that the baby will be doing. I feel comfortable with that, but not every parent has seen what a craniosacral therapy session looks like for babies. Some will say, oh yeah, I looked it up. I looked up a few videos on YouTube. So some of them have an idea of what's going on. But not all of them do. A lot, you know, actually, they'll come in and I'll say, oh, you know, the person that referred you to me, did they tell you anything about craniosacral? And a lot of them say, no, I just called and booked the appointment. I'm like, good for you. That's amazing. This is a true Hail Mary, and I'm happy that I won your trust immediately without even, I don't know what the person who referred you to me said, but I won your trust, and that's amazing. So I want to keep that trust. And so what I do is I tell them what it is that I'm going to do with their baby so that they don't have as much anxiety or mistrust or anything like that. I also like to tell them that it's not going to hurt their baby. What it is that I'm going to do is not going to hurt their baby. I use such gentle pressure that it's almost like I'm doing nothing. And if a baby cries out, let's say I put my hand in the same spot every single time and the baby cries out every time I bring my hand close to that area, then what I do is I use the same amount of pressure on that parent to show them that what I'm doing is not pushing in an area that's causing pain, but that perhaps, like I had mentioned before, that there is emotion trapped in that tissue. A lot of times I find it's right between the shoulder blades. That's a big one. Right between the shoulder blades, babies have so much emotion there. I also feel some vertebrae that are out. So, you know, release the emotion, release the vertebrae. Great. Awesome. Two birds, one stone. So yeah, I try to show the parents what the pressure is so that they understand that it's not pain. I do a lot of explaining. I give a lot of solicited advice. I do my best not to give unsolicited advice. Because I am a parent, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you're a parent. What did you do? And in that case, I will say, this is what I did, whatever it is that they've asked me. Perhaps I didn't experience it, so I will say, oh, I'm not really sure. But I have someone who's really good that I can refer you to. I really like to have a long list of referrals that I can send my people to. Because I'm a craniosacral therapist, I am not everything. I don't want to be everything. I want to do specific work, and I will refer out when necessary. But I definitely enjoy giving my solicited advice about parenting. I give a lot of book referrals. I give a lot of book suggestions, the ones that I've read that were really helpful for me. I also read them before the ages that the book is meant for. Let's say, like, you know, parenting toddlers. I started reading when my son was one, just to kind of prep myself for when he became a toddler. And then I like read them over and over again while he was a toddler because it was so hard. I love you, Lincoln. You're the best. I give a lot of book suggestions. I give a lot of praise to my people. I let them know that they're doing an excellent job. I let them know that they can also take the words that I've said and throw them directly in the garbage. I am not all-knowing. I am giving them my knowledge, and 52 other people have given them their knowledge. And what they need to do is take whatever it is that sounds right and keep it. So I also don't expect people to believe what I say. I don't expect people to take my word as the word of God. I just don't. That's okay. That's all right. I believe that everyone is on their journey, and I am just a moment in their journey. And I feel so, I really, truly hate the word blessed. I hate it. But I feel so blessed. I feel like I really get to help people. I really get to help people. And that has been my one calling throughout my whole life is that I am here to serve. I am here to help. And I get to do that every single day, multiple times a day, to multiple different families. And I get to help people process an extraordinarily life-changing, life-altering experience. I get to help people start their journey with these precious little humans. I get to help babies who scream 50 hours a day. I know there's only 24, but they scream 50 hours a day. I get them to, within a week, have moments or 50 hours of smiling. Imagine what the world would be like if every single baby and every single family got to experience a blissful introduction to their relationship. Could you imagine? Every single baby deserves this. Every single family, every single baby and every single family deserves this. If you aren't already sold on becoming a craniosacral therapist, I don't know what else I could possibly tell you. I love my job. I love it. And I will probably do this until I am in the next life. I will probably do this in my next life. I'll be like, oh, I know what I'm doing. I've been this before. And hopefully by then, there will be more craniosacral therapists. I won't be the only one in Toronto with my designation. Hey friends, coming this spring is my Intro to Infant Craniosacral course here in Toronto. I have designed an intensive program for both birth and health professionals to learn the core fundamentals of infant craniosacral therapy. You can learn everything you need in this program to get out there and start treating babies right away. Go to beamcst.com to learn more. That's beams, B-E-A-M-E-S, C-S-T.com to learn more. Again, that's this spring, a 2-week program to treat babies with CST immediately after completion. I hope to see you there.